Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. We'll get those requests in, get those playing a little bit later on. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200 for Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200. We are going to be talking about some of the most insanely weird flavored food from around the world. Some of the stuff is really nuts. And I want to talk about some of the craziest food you've ever tried. And we're going to talk about the most annoying songs of all time. So I'm sure that everybody has at least one or two songs that drive them crazy, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But before we do that, I want to welcome to the show an old friend, Ann Johnsos. She is a award-winning journalist. She's a former WGN radio alumni, and she's the author of the children's book Potty Mouth, Big Thoughts from Little Brains, and she also is the co-host of Apparently, the podcast right here on WGN Radio. And she's here to talk about, her book. We haven't had her on to talk about the book. The book came out a little over a year ago, but we want to have her on. We want to have her on to talk about the book and about what she's doing and her podcast. And also just in general, there's some interesting children's book stories that are out there that I want to run past Anne. And we haven't talked in a while. It's nice to have her here. Let's welcome Anne to the show. Anne, how are you?
Hey, Nick. How are you?
Good, good, good. So nice to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be part of it, and I'm so happy. My mom, when she goes to bed at night, she listens to you, and when she wakes up, she listens to you because she wakes up occasionally, and she says that it's the best part about her sleep.
Oh, that's really sweet. I appreciate that. So,
I'll tell her.
You know, years ago, you and I met because you used to produce Roy Leonard's show.
I did, and so I was like 22 or 23. You were not much older, but you were this kid who had called in. I mean, way before me, like, as a producer there, and just became Roy's little guy, you know? And so you would come in every Saturday morning and just sit in the studio, and you guys would talk movies.
Yeah. And I've been, it'll be in May, it'll be 34 years.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, I was trying to do the math. I think you and I met about 25 or more years ago, and... Do you remember sitting in the screening room with like all the screener guys? But Siskel and Ebert would sit in the back row with the phone in between them.
Yeah,
and Ebert was always eating something, and Gene was always making fun of him.
Yep. It was. I mean, they did that every day. What they were like on their TV show, they were like that off. They were like that off screen too.
It was not an act at all.
No.
Yeah, and I also remember like sitting in there and. I don't think it happened when I was there, but there were ashtrays on the chairs.
Yeah.
Did they smoke when you went, or was that already gone?
No, they smoked. When I first started going to screenings, people would smoke, and I don't think they stopped smoking until probably the, I don't know, early 90s, something
like
that?
Yeah, I came in at 94, so yeah. I bet I just missed it, but I just thought that was bizarre.
Yeah, no, I mean, but people used to smoke in theaters. I mean, it's crazy. I remember the days when people could smoke, and then they limited it to the balcony. Like, you had to go up to the balcony in a movie theater to smoke.
Well, at least, the air was rising. My husband tells a story about going on a transatlantic trip to maybe Germany, and he and his buddies were on one side of the plane, and the woman said, "Excuse me, you can't smoke here." And they said, oh, sorry, where's the smoking section? And it was across the aisle.
Yeah, just across the aisle. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to me that they had smoking sections in airplanes because you're just in a tube. The smoke's not going to escape. It's going to be in there with you the entire trip. So it doesn't make it didn't make any sense at all. So, let me ask you how you got into, writing this book, this Potty Mouth. It's been out for a while now, but I want to talk about it. It's a lovely book. Tell everybody about Potty Mouth.
Okay, sure. I thought it was going to be a parenting humor book. It was when my kids were born, they are what is now called the I generation. My youngest has never been alive without an iPhone. And so because of that, I was able to digitally write down everything they said when they said it. And, you know, we always have the kids say the darndest things.
Yeah.
And then you might write it down at the end of the night. You can't remember. But I was able to quickly type the funny things they said. And I never had any intention to do anything except save them. But then I started putting them on Facebook because that's what we did. You know, Facebook was a thing. And then more and more people were asking me to investigate a book. And so when I left GN in 2015, I was like, well, let's take a look. And I got a publisher, a small publisher, Spark Press, and put it out. And it's, you know, I, I'm waiting for that one, like, celebrity to say, you know, I love this book so much, I'm going to tweet about it, but no one has. So it's not a bestseller. It sold well enough, and my kids love it. And I have material for another one, and everyone says it's the second book that sells the first book, but we will see. Essentially, it's, you know, kids say the darndest things, but my kids are kind of asshats.
Yeah.
So they said really mean things, but very honest things, and my husband and I were quite often saying, like, scratching our heads and saying, what do we make of this? So we thought it would be good for a gift to give to people who are expecting children. And that was originally what it was. But now people who have children are sending me videos of their toddlers reading the book.
Uh-huh.
Because the book has got cartoons. It's like a cartoon book. And these kids love reading the simple sentences, and they've memorized them. They're not reading them. But it's very funny to look at a four-year-old reading, you know, in quotes, a book. So
yeah.
It was gratifying. It was not, you know, a labor of love, but
yeah.
everything in parenting is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember reading those posts that you, and I thought they were very entertaining. When you would post them up on Facebook, I always thought they were very entertaining, and I think it was a smart idea to put them all in a book.
Well, if nothing else, then, you know, I always say I'm a little bit of a fatalist. So, like, you know, when I end up having dementia, this will be the way I'll remember what they were like.
Yeah, there you go. let's say a little bit. You mentioned the illustrations. Talk a little bit about the illustrator.
So John Britton is a friend of mine from school, and he from Yale. And he, when I put it out there, and I seriously on Facebook, I was like, "Is anybody an illustrator?" And a bunch of my friends were like, "You know, I know someone." And John had done some illustrations for kids' books. He's actually an attorney, so it's not his major calling. But he had a brand new baby and like a 1-year-old, and he was right in the thick of the joy and the, you know, pain that is babies. So
right.
he would doodle and send me essentially images, and then I would have to try and figure out which doodle went with which page, because it was very not organized.
Huh.
But it was great, you know. And so he has this thing that he can show, and I assume he's doing the same thing with his kids too, because it goes by fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Well, it's a really entertaining book, Anne, and the illustrations are very funny and really neat. Do you have any favorite things in the book that your kids said?
The one that people like the most, the meanest one, I think, one of the meanest ones, is when my oldest was in kindergarten, and she said, "Mama, why don't you wear makeup when you drive me to school in the morning?" And I was like, "What? I don't even get out of the car."
Yeah.
And she said, "The car has windows."
Oh, man.
Yeah, another one that was good, that they were asking, you know, the little one was saying, you know, I'm cute. You know, I'm cute because I'm little. And the older one was saying, "Well, when you're little, you're cute. When you're older, you become beautiful." And I was like, "Yeah." And they said, "And when you're really old, like Mom, you become professional."
Where do these things come from? Have you, and now your kids, your kids really, obviously, they love the book, right? They must be really happy that it's out there.
They do. In fact, I should make it clear that they were, what were they, probably seven, they were 8 and 10 when this came out. And they, before we went through it, I went through the entire manuscript with them, and I said that, Is this okay? Is, you know, my little one thought she was a dog for a while. She had an alternate personality or dog-ality.
Wait. What?
Yeah, she thought she was a dog. Her name was Cookie. She had a fur vest, and she would not wear pants.
That must have been interesting.
It was, and potty training is hard enough, but when you've got a dog, really,
right.
You know.
Right.
But she loves Cookie now, like, you know, and she jokes about being Cookie. My older one told me there was one where I was, she asked me about, I had overplucked my eyebrows, like I had red bumps on my eyebrows, and she's like, "What's wrong with your eyebrows?" And I said, "Oh, it's a classic case of overplucking." And she said, "Do you pluck your eyebrows like I pluck my violin?" And I was like, "Yes." And then she says, "Do your eyebrows make music?" And I was like, "Does your violin?"
Yeah.
And then she said to me, you can't put that one in there. That makes you look like a jerk.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she knows the audience.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great. So they were your little editors then.
They were. They were. And they and my so their names are Sophie and Hannah. Hannah's the little one. And she brought the school to the book to school to show off. And all these kids wrote notes about their favorite embarrassing moments of Hannah. So I'm like, ooh, I'm glad she's okay with it.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great. It's important that the kids are okay with it, though. But it's great that they've embraced it. And you said that parents are really enjoying the book as well. And it's still available, right? People can still get it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think it's like half off now on Amazon. I have a website called potty-mouthed. So I'm not a potty mouth. I was just potty mouthed as a point of, I always thought I would never say words like potty.
Yeah.
Or tinkle or new news or milkers or what. And so when I found myself being potty mouthed, like saying all those things, I was aghast. So that's where the title came from. My mom, who might be listening right now, does not like it because it makes it sound like I talk trash. But it's potty-mouthed.com, or you can look it up, potty-mouthed, big thoughts from little brains on Amazon. And it's like, I can't give it away on Amazon. So.
Okay. All right. So again, it's potty-mouthed, M-O-U-T-H-E-D, mouthed.com.
Yes.
Okay. And hang on, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Ann Johnsos is with us. She is an award-winning journalist. She's an author. She used to work right here at WGN Radio. And in fact, she still kind of does. She's got a podcast that you can get at WGNRadio.com, WGN Plus, called Apparently, that she hosts with Tracy. And so we're going to talk about that and a couple of more children's book topics that I just want to bounce off of Ann. So we'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN. More with Ann Johnsos right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran has your morning drive at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and it's Wildcard Wednesday. Get your Wildcard Wednesday requests in now, and that is any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about some of the craziest flavored foods from around the world and some of the craziest foods that you've ever eaten. And we'll also jump into the most annoying songs of all time. And we're going to talk some book stuff, too. And speaking of books, my guest right now is Ann Johnsos. She's an award-winning journalist, WGN Radio alumni, and she is also the co-host of the podcast, Apparently, and the author of the book Potty Mouthed, Big Thoughts from Little Brains, which is available everywhere. And you can go to potty-mouthed, M-O-U-T-H-E-D, potty-mouthed.com for more information. So let's welcome Ann back to the show. Ann, welcome back.
Thanks, Nick.
Hey, all right. Listen, let's talk about your, tell me about Apparently. Tell everybody about the podcast and how it started and what are some of the past few podcasts that you guys have done?
Sure. So Tracy Weiner, she was Tracy Huvelman. You'll know her from that. Tracy Huvelman Weiner and I met at WGN when we were producing. I was producing Bob Collins and she was producing Roy Leonard. We got through our 20s together without really getting married, found someone, each of us, to marry in our 30s, are raising our children together, and we finally decided we had enough time to come back and talk about it. So Apparently is what we call the podcast for absolutely average parents. And it is two old friends, or maybe middle-aged friends, just talking about parenting issues. And it's not just like, you know, our kids' stuff. We do, I just did one on vaccinations. That's dropping this week. We did social-emotional learning. We've done dyslexia. We've done anxiety. We've done picky eating. We've done sleep training. All sorts of things. And, you know, not everything will be interesting to everyone, but we try to get experts to tell us kind of how stupid we are, and we're perfectly happy being stupid and asking the questions that maybe our listeners want to have asked. So we're having a blast.
That's great.
That part's great.
How long have you been doing it?
We started last May, so we are on our 35th episode. We do sort of seasons of 15 and then take breaks because we have to sort of, you know, raise our children.
Yeah, yeah. What you know, you're talking about all of these, like, obviously vaccination, that's a huge issue right now, a huge issue. Tell me a little bit about what you covered. I mean, you know, obviously we want people to actually download the podcast and listen to it, but what were some of the things that you covered in terms of that topic?
So we talked to a specialist out of Denver who was charming as all get out. And Tracy and I tried to say, hey, listen, we know people have different opinions on this, and we're not telling anyone what to do. And he was kind of like, but you should. he said opinion and emotion have no place in science. But Tracy and I were very careful not to We don't want to alienate people, but we both had our kids vaccinated. We talked about whether if you delay the vaccinations or if you space them out, and he actually said that's worse for the baby because then the baby gets a shot every time the baby comes to the doctor and the baby starts hating the doctor. But he said the reason the resurgence of these deadly diseases is because people have stopped vaccinating, and in some ways the vaccines were so effective they made the problems themselves, right? You know, if people stop using them, then the diseases are going to come back.
Yeah, well, we're seeing this. The whole measles thing is insane.
Yep.
It's just completely nuts. And I mean, this is a disease that we thought, an illness that we thought was, you know, had been wiped out, and it was wiped out.
It was pretty much, yeah. And he talks too about, you know, how measles destroyed Cuba, destroyed Hawaii, you know, as it was introduced to indigenous people. And he thinks it's just because we don't have any memory of that as a collective that we, you know, tend to think, well, it's not going to happen to my kid. But he also said there are studies now where even, you know, when they talk to parents, they say, if you have to drive half an hour further to take your kid where all the kids are vaccinated in the school, would you drive that extra half an hour? Or how far would you drive? And even the people who don't believe in vaccinations would drive farther to get their kids to a school where most of the kids were vaccinated.
Mm. Wow.
So, yeah.
So that's dropping this week.
That drops on Thursday.
And, and on Thursday, people can go to WGNradio.com and WGN Plus to get Apparently.
Yes, and once again, in typical difficult fashion, we made it difficult. Parent-Lee. we're not the sharpest knives in the drawer.
Right, and parent is the word parent. It's not spelled apparently. It's
right.
UH-parent, all caps, and then -ly.
Yeah, apparently. So the point is we're supposed to be like, apparently.
Right.
Vaccines are a thing.
Right.
You know, so
yeah. Right.
So
your experience of writing Potty Mouth, a children's book, was it interesting to release a children's book in the world of children's books? Got a couple of quick children's book stories here. What was it like in that world?
It's so interesting because it is a world almost untouched by digital. Only 4% of sales from children's books are digital. They are mostly bought by people who want their kids in their laps with their arms around the kids and the book and having that moment where they're reading, the kids are watching or listening, but it's a physical contact.
Yeah.
So in some ways, the children's book industry is not at all threatened by the incredible, you know, shift in publishing. But it's also interesting, too, because are you going to talk about Funko?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Funko is going to books, and instead of doing characters based on already existing characters, they're going on with their little sort of wetland?
Right, Wetmore Forest.
Yeah, and they have like a Tumblebee and Wingnut and Butterhorn, these little kind of gobbly, goobly animals that are very cute.
Right.
But they're going after the actual children's book literature market, and it's a good idea because even though children are on devices quite a bit, and believe me, at one point I came home and my kid was painting with the babysitter and I came through the door and she's like, yay, iPhone time! because parents don't, we don't have the bandwidth. But that good night book or the book in the car is I don't think it's going away.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if you've read about millennials, but millennials are some of the most reading-oriented generation that we've had. They read more than Gen X. They read more than boomers. They were raised on Harry Potter. So they are very likely to stay allied to or allegiant to this idea of reading. And they're really into libraries. I mean, it's cool. They're kind of weird.
Yeah, but it's I think that's great though. I mean, you know, I mean, having grown up when I grew up, you know, there was you had physical books. You didn't read digitally, and you went to a library and checked out books. That's how I did it.
And do you remember like the feeling? And then, you know, I know for me when I was learning how to read, I would trace, you know, run my finger along the page underneath so I could sort of track it with my eyes.
Yeah.
And one of the episodes we did for Apparently was about multisensory learning. And when you run your finger along that page while you're reading it and possibly hearing it because you're saying it out loud, you're getting those words three times. You're getting through your finger, through your eyes, through your ears.
Wow, yeah.
So it's, you know, you can't beat it. The capstone one, right? Producer Ben give you capstone?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the children's books bundles to Alexa subscribers. So there's technology here, but it's actually... they're using the technology for actually physical books.
Yes, because kids could follow along. I think that this will be mostly oral, but my kids do it now in something called The Magic Door, which is, you remember Choose Your Own Adventure, right?
Yeah.
This is, you know, Alexa pretty much offers them a couple options with every, you know, and I play it with a group of kids. We play as a group, and you know, people are always like, they never want to, you know, start over, and they never want to do the safe thing. So, you know, we're always getting killed. But it's a group activity. It's a social thing. So I think that's brilliant. But I don't think it's going to replace the idea of sitting in a dark room with, you know, someone who loves you telling you about, you know, Paddington.
Yeah, that's true. And but it's a really great idea. And there Amazon has added bundled children's books content to the Alexa platform, giving kids a new way to access interactive stories through the voice activated assistant. And they've added 50 You Choose books. Mm-hmm. It's fiction and nonfiction, you can go down, like you said, you can choose your narrative pathways, and it's a social activity as well. So that's really cool to encourage the books. And I'm looking at the, by the way, going back to the Funko thing, I'm looking at the illustration of the Wetmore Forest,
yes.
And it's adorable.
It is adorable. Yeah. And if you look, there are videos too, Nick, and you know, you're a movie dude. The videos are well done. They're almost Pixar-like. You don't feel like they're two-dimensional. They have dimension to them. So I can imagine many a toddler fixated while mommy takes a bath. Just a shower.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, that's those are some pop culture and some children's book news with Ann Johnsos. And Ann, it's a pleasure to catch up with you. We got to do this again sometime.
Absolutely, I will. Next time, well, you're never there when I'm there, but next time I'm just going to leave you a note.
Okay.
I'm going to leave you a note and say hi, Nick.
Okay. Ann. Okay. And Apparently is on WGNRadio.com, WGN Plus, and the latest episode, which is about vaccination, will be dropping on Thursday. And the book is out there, Potty Mouthed, Big Thoughts from Little Brains, available everywhere. Check out Amazon and go to potty-mouthed, MOUTHED.com for more info. And pleasure catching up with you. Have a good morning.
You too, Nick. Keep it up.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Right.
There you
Bye-bye.
Go. Ann Johnsos, everybody. Check out her book, Potty Mouthed, Big Thoughts from Little Brains, and listen to Apparently. It's a good podcast right here at WGNRadio.com. All right, we'll take a quick break for the news coming up next on WGN.